This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Most of us have at least heard of the Kiwanis Club. We've seen the signs as we drive into towns, these clubs devoted to community service. They're all over the world. But maybe you didn't know this. The Kiwanis Club started 100 years ago in Detroit. Eric Sabri is the president of Kiwanis One. That's the Detroit club that started the whole thing in January 1915. So good to have you with us, Eric.
Thank you for inviting me to the studio.
Now, the club did not begin with the focus of community service, did it?
No, it didn't. It started with a focus on fraternal brotherhood of businessmen. Benevolent Orders of Brothers is what they called it originally.
That was the name originally.
That was the name originally. And it was they actually sold shares in the Kiwanis organization. Alan Brown, who was the promoter, and he went to Mr. Prince. Joseph Prince, who was our first member.
First member.
He was a tailor. He had a shop on Gratiot in Detroit.
And he just decided, let's get a group of like-minded businessmen together.
Yeah, let's get some businessmen together. We can network. It'll help improve our businesses.
Help business.
And we'll have some social activities and have fun. And so it was called Benevolent Order of Brothers.
And if I recall, the motto was, we trade.
Right, we trade.
How and when did the focus shift over to the new motto or the present motto, we build, when it shifted to community service?
Well, a couple of years after that, they had some internal problems. And Alan Brown got out of Kiwanis, basically. He actually sold his shares in Kiwanis. They took the name because he owned the name Kiwanis. And in 1917, it became an international organization because a couple of Canadian clubs started.
So by the time it shifted to community service, unusual name Kiwanis had been put into place. And I think most of us would have no idea what it means and where it came from.
The Ojibwe Indian tribe, mm-hmm. It means we make noise. It makes some noise or makes some activity.
Make a difference.
Make a difference.
And from that first club in Detroit that you're the president of, that Kiwanis won, how many clubs are there now in Michigan and, if you even know, around the world?
162 clubs, or 163, I'm not sure, in the state of Michigan right now. And we have 600,000 members worldwide in 80 different countries.
That's
and,
quite
and right amazing. Here in Ann Arbor, there are three clubs.
That's something else. And the Kiwanis in Detroit have really done a great thing in literacy. Talk about the book effort.
Oh,
That's just stunning.
We have our signature project. It's called Books for Kids. This project started about 12 years ago. It originally began when we were going into one of the elementary schools talking about character education. And my father and another member of our club started going to the school and reading to the students about character education, trying to talk about. They had little kits where they would ask questions. If you found some money in the hallway, you know, what would you do? And they tried to talk about character. And this program turned into reading to the students. And then we ended up getting a library for the school. And we started working with a couple of organizations. First Books is one of them. And we got books, very, very low cost. We were able to give free books out to over 100,000 people per year for the last 12 years.
That's a lot of books.
To Head Start programs, to schools, mostly in Detroit. And then we also had some literacy programs, people who actually work with improving literacy. We try to focus on the literacy programs.
Is it hard to recruit members thinking that life's a lot different in, say, 2014 than it was in 1914 when this club was just getting launched?
Yes, it is. It's a challenge for Kiwanis as well as other service organizations all over. The largest area of growth in Kiwanis is actually, I think, in Asia and in Latin America. But for the United States, it's really a challenge right now. And that's why one of the things Kiwanis has done is set up these club satellites where if you don't have time to go to meetings, you can meet, and say, in a coffee shop. And a small group of people can meet, and they're part of the club, but they don't have to come to the club meetings. Some clubs meet in the morning, 7:30. So that helps to accommodate the schedules.
Have to learn to be flexible.
So we're trying to be flexible, and it works.
Do you see another 100 years for the Kiwanis?
Yes, but it's critical that we change, like I said, with the membership, the flexibility of membership, that we change with the times. Because everyone, You know, it's on the internet now. People don't have time to go to meetings an hour, hour and a half in the middle of the day. They have a lot of things going on. So if we're flexible, as we're working towards that right now, then we'll survive. Because the service work is needed, and it's really good. It's something that people can do no matter what your religion is, no matter what, you know, your employment, your job, your profession. You can enjoy the company of others when you're doing community service. And that's what will make it survive.
Eric, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for inviting me to Michigan Radio.